Welcome, everyone. This is Rita Moore, Psychic Medium. Sorry we're a little behind schedule tonight, but I just inadvertently turned my ringer off on my phone. So there you go. Anyway, we have the lovely Becky Hughes with us tonight. Hello, Becky.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. How are you? Don't you love Mercury in retrograde?
Well, actually, I've been doing readings most of the day, so I'm kind of zoned out.
Oh.
So in any event, we have now our station has upgraded so that we'll be ready to take some calls. And so what's been happening in your world this week, Becky?
Just a lot of, I guess, like craziness in a way, but I'm handling it. It's been good. You know, a lot of very, very strong readings have been coming around. A lot of people just awakening, I guess you could say, in that sense. So, but it's been good. It's been a good week, even though it's been crazy.
Yeah, same here. It's like a contained chaos, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And handled very well.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden I've realized that, yes, I know I'm a multitasker. I just didn't realize how well. So this is always good, except I have to remember to turn my ringer on my phone. And so other than that, we're doing okay. But, you know, in the past we've spoken about manifestation and things of that nature. And so tonight... I really don't have anything planned. We're just going to open up the phone lines, and whoever wants to call in, call in. If you have a question, Becky is excellent with relationships, and I do my psychic mediumship, and I also am very good at timing of events. So just come on in and have fun. And in the meantime... you know, working with energies and stuff, you kind of get that feeling that sometimes you hit that block. And, you know, I know for myself, I get that stuck feeling like, ugh, it almost feels physical sometimes. So what I could suggest is, you know, for those of you who are out there feeling a little bit stuck in a rut, the same thing every day, the basic thing is to know that, number one, this is only a temporary situation. This is not for the rest of your life, but sometimes this, what I call stuck energy, is there to teach us, guide us, give us information about ourselves. One of the ways that I unstick myself is to use what I call mental discipline. And I ask myself, why am I feeling this way? And sometimes I will get an answer, and sometimes it's like, I have no idea. You know, I'm just feeling this way. Well, for one thing, if you are what is called an empath, meaning that you pick up the feelings of other people, in other words, you can, let's say you're going to work one morning, and you walk in, and all of a sudden you know that in that office, people are just not happy. You kind of pick up on that. That's a form of empathy, where you're feeling other people's feelings. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is this me, or am I just picking up on somebody else? And when the answer comes, and you have, if you have your own way of knowing that, and we can give you ways of having to discern that information, then what you can do is say, okay, if it's mine, let's see what it has to say. And a lot of times, my stuckness comes from lack of control. In other words, if I'm dealing with a situation that I'm not sure that I can, how would you say, handle it from my own way, then I get stuck. I don't know about you, Becky, but that's me. Hi, this is Rita and Becky. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with this evening?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you this evening?
Hello, sir. Thank you.
Well, how can we help you?
Well, I was actually resonating with what you were talking about being empathic, because I feel like I am. I pick up a lot of different energies on a daily basis. But what I wanted to ask you about was essentially about finances. I'm trying to increase my finances because they've been pretty slow this month, And I wanted to know if perhaps either one of you saw anything in regards to that.
Right. Do you do any kind of real estate work?
Oh, no.
Because I see something to do around real estate for you, but I don't, what I'm getting is a purchase, and I'm just seeing land. So I'm going to get into that with you in a minute. So you want to know how your finances are going to do. Okay. Now, is this from a professional or personal level, Lisa?
It could be either, but basically professional, career-wise, if you see that.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what I feel, and then I'm going to let Becky tell you what she feels. How does that sound?
Okay.
The first thing I'm sensing, like you said, is flow. All right? There's no doubt about that. The movement, when I see movement, I feel that that's going to come next month, probably towards the middle of the month. So generally speaking, I would say this is going to last possibly another 3 to 4 weeks. But then I see momentum, movement, okay? And I see that continuing through July, a week in July, maybe the second week in July is a little bit slow. But then after that, I see a steady momentum being gained. Are you picking up anything yourself, Becky, on this?
Hello? I can barely hear you.
I know. I can barely hear anybody, but are you picking anything up on that?
What is she wanting me to look at? Because I can barely hear.
Okay. It's her finances. That they're very slow right now, and I just want to see what you're picking up on it.
I actually feel like around fall time, she's going to have more of an increase of financial stability coming around. It also feels like it has to do with some sort of a male figure. I feel like this person's going to, in a sense, create some sort of an idea for her, whether it be something along the lines of some sort of like a promotion, a push, or something like that, or like some sort of new business adventure. But I keep getting like a male that's going to have this idea in a sense that's going to help her create more financial coming in her way. I also feel like around winter time too with her, she's going to look at other ways to branch out. So whatever that means for you, that's what I'm picking up. It feels like you are going to have financial stability definitely coming in, but it's more along the lines of fall and winter of what I'm seeing. Summer, I feel like you're going to have money coming in, yes, but it's stronger of fall and winter. Fall and winter, I feel like
later on, yeah.
More
I feel like I said, it's going to pick up in about 3 weeks. There's still going to be a slump here. And then July, a week in July, I feel a slump. But then after that, I still feel, you know, full speed ahead. That's kind of what I'm getting from it. I also feel, too, that on some levels, you're in a questioning period, okay? And correct us, you know, if we're wrong. But I also feel like it's like choices, decision-making time. And this is actually, even though it may be a little bit slow going for you, Lisa, the bottom line is that, you know, especially with Mercury in retrograde, I call it the dot your I's and cross your T's time. It's a great time to go back and redefine what is really, you know, important, how can you tweak this, that kind of thing. So I hope that has helped you tonight.
I really appreciate it. That makes a lot of sense.
Lisa, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you talk a little bit louder?
That makes a lot of sense. I totally understood what you were talking about.
Okay. And we're going to talk a little bit more about empaths tonight, since that's where we seem to be heading. So thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to help you in our own way.
Hello.
But in any event, I'm partial. I feel like I'm going deaf, but we're going to plow right through this. I can hear. Well, if you're one of those people out there that is an empath, this is not an easy road. In fact, it's from a psychic view, it's one of the hardest psychic energies that a person can handle. Because not only are you dealing with your own emotions and your own feelings, you're also picking up and actually absorbing those of others around you and at a distance, because in the psychic world, time and space are irrelevant. So what happens? You become literally a psychic sponge, and when that sponge gets wet, you know, it's useless. You got to wring it out. I also believe that, you know, with over 20 million people in, you know, in press, I believe a lot of that has to do with certain, what I call empathic abilities. People are not understanding this because, let's face it, the psychic, how would you say, arena or venue, over the years has pretty much got a bad rap. And on some levels, rightly so. But on other levels, there are genuine, bona fide, you know, to me, psychics. We're being, you know, two of them. And the fact of the matter is that it's not an easy path. So if you feel that you're an empath, you're picking up on other people's feelings, you're going to have to learn how not to become more psychic, but basically how to release those energies. And
exactly.
A lot of times... You know, they say that laughter is the best medicine. Well, believe it or not, it works for an empath, too. Okay? Now, Becky, do you consider yourself an empath?
I'm very much an empath. I can pick up billions of people's energy, like, all at once. Like, Christmas time is a nightmare for me to go into
mm-hmm.
stores. Crowded places, you know, I have to kind of pull back away from them, or I have to realize that that's not my energy. Like, it's where you have to figure out what's yours and what isn't. But, yeah, it's a hard path, and, you know, until you learn that art of, I guess, detaching yourself from other people's feelings in that sense, it's very
mm-hmm.
it's hard to understand. But, yeah, very,
yeah,
very.
I know when I first started to do the, you know, readings, the psychic mediumship, when departed loved ones would come through, I had it literally stop a reading. I would be sitting there boo-hooing, like, you know, it was just that heartfelt. But as the years went by, I had to learn how to be sympathetic without being totally immersed in it, if that makes sense. Because I was not doing the client any favors by sitting there hysterical crying. But that's how it, you know, in the beginning, way back in a galaxy, that's how it actually started. So now, of course, it's different. Do I still get the weepies? Absolutely, because, you know, everybody has their, what do you call, their Achilles heel, so to speak. And I know that, like, if you're a medical person and you have to be pretty clinical to be able to deal with your patients, because if you're an emotional mess, you're not helping that client or that patient. Well, it's not that much different in the psychic realm in that respect. You have to be objective. You have to have a clear mind and so on and so forth. And you can't allow your own personal issues to judge or cloud what you're doing for your client. And a lot of times I have those bells go off in my head because this is a process. It was a learning process. As soon as I'm doing, you know, I'm in session with a client and I see my own issues start seeping in and it's like, stop, no, this is not about me, this is about them. So there's a lot of discipline involved and so on and so forth. But if those of you who are out there that are picking up on other people's energies and you feel like sometimes, like I said, just overwhelmed, you know, A, do something physical. Try to find something to laugh at. You know, I have a repertoire of, you know, comedy movies that just make me roll. And so on and so forth. There are ways. Music can be very healing, and even colors can be very healing. Music will reach your emotional soul. And it's depending upon what type of music, you know, it can help release. So the idea is to get this energy unstuck and out. Which brings me to the other factor of this. Sometimes there's anger involved. And,
yeah.
You know, we talk about the quote-unquote righteous anger. Yeah, sometimes you just have to get angry. And that's okay. You know, you don't want to hurt anyone, including yourself. But it's okay to get mad. You know, some people, well, we want to take the high road. And, yes, there's definitely a time and place to step back, look at the big picture. That's wonderful. But by the same token, there are times when that anger builds up and it's like a pressure cooker and you keep repressing it, and then one day, you know, it's like the blowhole of a whale. There she blows, you know. So let it out. Let it out. So, yes, that's what I'm saying. Ask if it's yours or someone else's, and how you can do that is really simple. If you are not particularly psychic, so to speak, although I think everybody has the ability, some to less degree than others, then
yeah.
You could do a simple exercise, what I call the gut exercise. And I used to do this years ago with clients, and what we would do is we'd sit in a circle, and I would tell the client, I want you to say something to yourself that you know is an absolute truth, and it's irrefutable. You know that you know that you know. And I said the easiest thing for me was to say, well, I love my children. That, you know, never will be in question. And see how it makes you feel. See psychically where it hits you. Because a lot of people get their initial psychic reaction from the gut. You know, and they'll say, you know, I had a gut reaction. Or I should have listened to my gut instinct. So some of you, and that's the solar plexus area. Other people can get a tingling sensation, buzzing in the ears. It just depends on where it hits you, you know, psychically. So when you say something that's very, how would you say, you know, the knowing, and you sit in that feeling for a while, maybe a couple of minutes, to see what that feels like, then get up, walk around, shake it off. About 5 minutes later, you come back, sit down, get quiet, and I want you to say the opposite of what you said before. So if you said, I love my children, or I love roses, you know, you just love roses, and you come back and you say, I hate roses, I despise roses, you're going to start getting sensations in your body that are signals that are telling you your head and your heart are not in alignment. And whatever those are, and they are like fingerprints, although there's a lot of generalities in this realm of psychic, you know, phenomena, so to speak, every person processes it differently, even to a subtle degree. So if you feel, some people get nauseated when they say these things. So that's just a very basic way of knowing whether or not, like for instance, is this mine? Then you say, yeah, I'm getting that warm fuzzy. Yeah, it's mine. Is this not mine, or is this someone else's? Or you'll know. You'll just know. And that, it doesn't take a whole lot of practice, but that's a very simple way of doing it. How do you discern yours, or has it gotten to the point where you just know now?
I just basically know now. Like, I will say this, whenever all of a sudden I hit this, all of a sudden like a slump where I'm just feeling down out of nowhere, I have to stop, and like if I start like buying into it, I guess you could say, pulling myself in, I stop and I'm like, hey, wait a minute here, where'd that come from? And then I have to feel it out, and I'm like, okay, that's not mine. And it's like that's when you have to kind of like in a way like mentally release it. You just gotta release from yourself. But
mm-hmm.
I've gotten to the point now that I just kind of, it's just natural.
You understand.
I just
it.
Kind of know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's say for argument's sake, you know that it's yours, whatever it is. How do you personally deal with that? I mean, I know that different situations call for different ways of dealing with it, but just from a general point of view, how would you know? How do you handle it?
Say that one more time. I just
well, like let's say, for instance, you know that you're picking up on energies.
Yeah.
And now you know, you're aware that, yes, this is my energy. It's not someone else's. What is your general practice or method on how to deal with that?
On when I'm picking up my own energy?
It's like, well, let me give you a for instance. It's like, I know
I'm sorry.
What was that, honey?
I can barely hear you. Say that one more time.
When I know it's me, what I'll do is I'll say, okay, you know, I'll just ask Spirit, just tell me what you want me to know. And then I'll sit very quietly and something will hit me. You know, either I'll get a flash of information or something. And if it doesn't come, then I speak to it. It's like I'm talking to the air, but that's okay. I've gone past caring about that. And I'll say, you know, basically, okay, I am not aware of what is going on and why I'm feeling this way. So what I ask for is clarity, guidance, and the wisdom and the practicality to put it into good use. And then I just let it go, and I find that as my day goes along or whatever, the information does come. The main thing for me is not to stress my mind. Like, what is it? What could be caused? You know, I don't do that anymore. Because it's like hovering there, right there at the consciousness level. So I don't stress it. I when it's ready to come out, it'll come. What I was asking is when you know it's yours, how do you handle it?
When I know it's mine, I guess I just kind of work through it. I feel it out and I try to figure out where it's coming from and why am I feeling that way. I guess it's just natural with me to deal with that, you know. When it comes from other people, it just kind of goes into the place too of where it needs to go. But I'm not even quite sure how to explain like how I get it. It's just it's very, very natural.
Knowing? Is it just boom? It's there.
It's just kind of like I just kind of know it. It's like it's like you were saying before. You know, if I were to say, you know, I love cheesecake, I love it. So if I were to say I hate cheesecake, something I guess like in my gut just kind of hits me the wrong way. It's like that's not right.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
But for me to say it, it's like, and you're right. It's like you feel it kind of in your heart. It's kind of like this warm, like that feels good. You know, it's like it feels right. But if something doesn't fit right,
like
it's almost
sitting in a very peaceful, like comfortable, total. It's enveloping. You know what I'm saying? It just it's right, and that's about as stunted as my description is. That's about as succinct as I could put it. It's just right. You know, at least for that moment in time. And that's why, you know, so many times when people are depressed or whatever, now, obviously, there certainly can be, how would you say, physical issues going on, chemical imbalances in the brain, so on and so forth. But just generally speaking, sometimes it's your psychic and your intuitive energies basically knocking at your door, saying, would you please listen to me? One of the things that I find very common amongst my clients is the fact that a large percentage know what to do, but they don't trust in their own intuitive instincts. And I think that once they actually took a leap of faith and started to listen and act upon what, you know, their mind is telling them, I think that is a tremendous step. Because the bottom line is, it's just like when you first start out doing psychic readings and on a professional level. You know, you want to be accurate, you want to help the client, and so on and so forth. And so by the very act of stressing on that, it kind of holds you back. When you just tell yourself, look, I'm a source of information, you know, and that information, whatever it is going to the client. That's the way the divine part of me, you know, is put into service, so to speak. At least that's the way I look at it. And when I look at it from that perspective, it just kind of flows. But if I say, oh, if I'm going to do this, and, you know, if what if I'm wrong? Ego has got to go. And I think so many people do not trust in their own intuitive counseling because they're so afraid of making a mistake. Well, you know, there's mistakes, and then there's mistakes. If you make if you're afraid of making a mistake that could be life-threatening, that's one thing. But in the daily, everyday thing, it's like jump, take that leap of faith and follow your gut. Because even if it didn't turn out the way you anticipated, but you probably would have learned something and gleaned something from it anyway, then you've accomplished a lot, you know. And have you ever had the clients that said, you know, that's what I was thinking, I just needed someone to validate that for me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it kind of goes that way. And so, you know, like I said, it's a big leap, because we just don't want to waste our precious time and energy on something that's not going to have the desired outcome. But sometimes, even through the so-called mistakes, eventually down the road somewhere, the desired outcome may initially not look like we want it, but at the end of the day, it's going to come back even better than we could imagine. See, that's what I put in my head. So therefore, I eliminate the fear. It's like, you know, you're here for, you know, a space and time. Enjoy it, bottom line. And however
exactly.
That is to, you know, whoever, you know, enjoyment can be as simple as sitting down and reading a book. And it could be a world traveler jet-setting all over the world. It's just, you know, a personal thing. So try to take what you can out of life and enjoy it. And if that means helping people, doing things, it doesn't matter. Because the joy in your heart is going to reverberate out. It's just going to totally vibe out, and it's going to touch everyone you meet. And even if you just go to a grocery store and stand online, you're going to make that checkout girl or young man very happy because you're happy. They just feel it oozing off of you. And I know that, you know, you could be in a crowded room and that one special person walks in and they literally feel as if they're electrified. And that's what I want to be. I want to be that person that just radiates that, you know, that kind of love and that joy. It's like, yes, I like to be around her. So,
yes.
And I'm funny that way. So anyway, so Becky, any unusual clients this week that, you know, we don't name names or anything like that, confidentiality, of course, but any kind of strange events that have been going on?
I have noticed something, and it's kind of been, I guess it's kind of struck a nerve in a sense, of a client of mine, and of course no names at all, but, you know, I have a client who is kind of a little overanalyzing situations when it comes to a guy that she likes and the possibilities of what are going to happen, and it's almost as if she's hatching the eggs before they've even come, you know what I mean, and looking at throwing away a possibility of something to happen. What I've noticed here is it's not going and letting things go in with the flow and living in the present moment. It's trying to avoid something that she could be learning a very long, like very, very strong lesson from. That's kind of been my irk for the week.
it's the
people who overanalyze.
Yeah, I think it all boils down to one thing. We don't want to be hurt.
Yeah.
We just don't want to be hurt. And I think that, or abandoned or whatever, we don't want to feel the pain. And, you know, it kind of isolates us for other, you know, for certain relationship issues, because what happens is that as soon as we see something that's familiar from a past relationship that seems to be occurring in a new one, it's almost as if, oh no, here are the signs. But if they're recurring, if there are recurring patterns in a person's life, it usually means that there's something to understand about it. You know, I know, like, in particular, some of my clients this week, they had heavy-duty abandonment issues.
And yeah, that's been another one,
from a fear
too.
Of being alone, you know. And we all have very common fears, you know. I mean, it's a lot of the fears that we have are not exclusive to one individual. It's kind of broadcast across the human race, so to speak. And no, we don't want to feel pain, and we want that happy relationship. But sometimes, even, you know, and we deserve them, absolutely. But sometimes we have to look at where we're at in a relationship, meaning that are we creating this chaos? In other words, if we don't create the chaos in a relationship, are we afraid that the relationship would get boring and go stale? So we keep it alive by throwing these little roadblocks. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And when someone wants to know, I mean, personally, as a psychic, I wouldn't want to know the rest of my life, would you?
No,
I have more fun creating as I go.
Exactly.
You know, I'll be creating to the day I go to the next level. That's just who I am. But
exactly.
But for those who need direction, so to speak, and say, okay, look, if you continue on this course with this individual, you will be experiencing this, okay? Now, let's say that this that they're going to be experiencing is not a very good, you know, experience per se. It may be a hard one. But does that necessarily mean that you throw the baby out with the bathwater? Does it necessarily mean that you throw away that whole relationship because of certain things? Well, for instance, if the guy that you're hooked up with is a womanizer, you know, aside from other factors, you know, sometimes is that, you know, there may be some issues going on with him, okay? And the main thing is to bring the focus back to yourself. Because unless the other party is willing to deal with their issues, no matter what you do or try to do, it's not going to change their behavior. It just won't. They have to be willing to do what they need to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're with someone like that runs around, you know, so on and so forth, then it's like, how is this relationship serving me? You know, on one hand, this guy can be a great individual, and he's wonderful to me, but then on the other hand, he cheats like a dog. So is it possible that I can feel great with someone else? Absolutely it is. Absolutely. So it still goes back to the person that says, is this really what I want in a relationship? And if you truly love this person, if you know that this is the one you really want to be with, then that's where it ties in. Your energies start tying in with each other, and you create this third energy called a relationship, and that's what you have to deal with, you know. And it takes time and effort. No results are guaranteed, but that's what people want. They want guarantees.
Exactly.
And it's almost like, how would you say, it's like saying, okay, if I do this, that, and this, then I'll never get hurt again. Unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. You may or may not get hurt again, but in the grand scheme of things, it will only be a temporary situation. And so you keep moving on. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. Because I know even years ago with yourself, you were kind of in that mode, weren't you, Becky?
That's kind of what?
In that I want to know everything mode.
Yes, very much so. But then you hit a certain point that it's like, you know what, just let's go with the flow and let's see what happens, you know, and that makes it more interesting because, like, you're not constantly waiting for something to happen, you know. It's like, ooh, what's next? It's not like waiting for that one certain thing. I kept trying to explain to her that this client, you know, that I kept trying to explain that the more that she overanalyzed and stuff, the more she was focusing that energy on the negativities of all the what-ifs, that she was pushing this person away. And she didn't seem to understand that. And a lot of people, I guess, don't seem to understand that. But another thing people need to understand is nothing is ever written in stone. You know, you said it best, it's a constant creating, and that's very true.
to a certain extent, I think it can be a combination of both. But I also feel, too, that when you're in the throes of heartbreak and fear, you really just want basically that warm fuzzy. It's a crutch. It gets you from point A to point B. But after a while, like you said yourself, you really get tired of the lamentations and the wailing at the wall. You know, you get tired of feeling tired. You get tired of being upset and unhappy. And it's almost like you wake up one day and say, you know, I've had enough of this. Why am I making myself miserable when he or she is out there enjoying their life, and all my crying, all my unhappiness, all my heartbreak, A, hasn't changed one thing. B, it's certainly not conducive to my well-being. And even though I may be having a hard time dealing with this, sooner or later the energy will dilute itself, the emotional intensity will lessen, and you start actually starting to come out of that forest of despair, you know.
Yeah.
And for some, it's a longer process than others, but it's still a process. And you have to understand that when you go through something like this, where are you? Ask yourself, where am I in this process? Am I at the beginning? Am I at the middle? And if you say, I have no idea, all I am is miserable, then you know you're probably smack in the middle of it. But
exactly.
There's always a beginning and end to things. And if you know where you, you know, it's like the old saying, know thyself. If you know how you process information and stuff, for instance, I know myself that if somebody makes me angry, if I'm yelling and screaming at them, they're okay. If I get deadly quiet and I don't say a word, you know, it's like, be afraid, be very afraid. Because I know myself. You know, I know where I'm at in that process when I'm internalizing information. And so remember, when events happen and things happen, now I'm not talking about bold-faced, you know, tragedies. I mean, yes, there are tragedies, and that's just, I'm not talking about that. Although a loss of someone that you love, either through another relationship or whatever, yes, it can strike you as a tragedy. And you are dealing with grief. I don't care which way, you know, you turn around with it, that's exactly what you're dealing with. And you are literally going through a grieving process. And sometimes it's worse if the other party kind of gives you that dangling carrot. They're not in it fully, but they're not completely out of it either. So it just keeps that wound, you know, open. And so that's why I say, you know, you have to know where you're at within the process. And where you're at will give you direction as to what is the next step for you, not for the relationship, just for you. Because sometimes we just have to learn to love ourselves more than we love the other party involved. And when
exactly.
We learn to love ourselves more and think better of ourselves and not be reactive, it's like, well, what is he or she going to do? And then I'll make my move. You know, I hear that so often. And it's heartbreaking in a way, because it's like, do you know what you are? Do you know who you are? You're a divine creature. Your body is a mystifying creation of God. I mean,
yes.
And don't act so small, you know.
Right.
Try to go through it, because that's part of life, you know. For most of us, not all of us, but for most of us. So, in any event, so anything new and exciting that you're learning in the psychic realm, or are you just kind of coasting?
I've just been kind of, well, I guess I've been kind of coasting, but I've been coming into more of the realization of things being in the present moment. Like, that's been my theme for the week, I guess you could say, on like a personal level, is I'm learning more and more. It's like I've always known things are in a present moment, but it's like more and more every day I see it more clearly, you know, of what we're doing and what we're creating and everything else. So that's kind of where I've been, kind of like understanding, you know, the way that things are kind of rolling. And, you know, it's not good to, I guess, worry so much on what is going to happen so far in advance, or like dread on, like, you know, what was happened or what was in the past of, you know, whatever. It's like I'm looking more at, okay, I'm here and this is where I'm at now, and that's why I'm in this position and this is where I'm headed. You know, it's like you can have ideas, but I'm just not like worrying so much. So being in the present moment, the theme.
Yeah, and I find it more exciting, actually.
Yeah.
In the sense that says, well, I'm here now, and I'm doing these dishes, and I'm okay with that.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of saying I'd rather be out eating dinner and having somebody serve me. But I know, you know, absolutely, I find that I'm much more calm when I'm in the present moment. If I put my psychic feelers out too far in the future, I become very almost disoriented. I get very stressed. I become, you know, that borderline depression stuff starts coming and setting in. Oh, I got to do this. It's like, you know, take a nice deep breath. Take a cleansing, refreshing breath and sit yourself right here and right now and where are you at? And right this moment, I've got this and I've got that and I've got the other and I'm good with it. You know, I'm good with that. And if you learn from nature, you know, you can look at the day. You know, the sun comes up and the sun goes down and then you have the night. You know, you have your activity time, you have your rest time. And if we follow nature's, how would you say, momentum, cycles, we learn from that. Nature can teach us a lot about ourselves, you know, and I think that being in the present gives us a lot of balance, actually, in life, emotionally, mentally, physically. It just is a cohesive whole. And
yeah.
Because nothing stays the same forever. You know, everything is always in a constant state of change. The bottom line is that we, you know, some things may take slower to change. The energies are much more intense and dense, and so it takes a little bit longer. Other energies are faster, lighter, and it changes quickly. So, but it's still changing, you know. It's sort of, think
exactly.
of it as, you know, cars going down a highway. Some cars are going to speed up ahead of one another, but we're all on that same road, you know. And so, yeah, I think that being in the present moment is probably, for myself, and I'm sure for you, is one of the more healthier things I can do for myself. Because all the worry in the world will never, ever change anything. That I have learned from personal experience. You know,
exactly.
I could worry myself sick, literally, and it won't change anything. So when I find myself starting to put what I call the spirit of worry on things, I give myself a mental slap and say, no, I refuse to think this way. I'm mindful of it. I'm concerned about this. And that's as far as I'm going to take the energy. I'm not going to worry about it. Because like you said, the more you put that negative spin on it, the more it manifests. And that takes, you know, discipline. I had to literally train myself to think in a certain way. And I find that as things come up, that what I call giving my exercise, my mental gymnastics, to say, oh, here, Rita, have one more thing to worry about. I'm like, okay, I'm through with the test. I'm done with the worrying and, you know, phase. So basically we're diluting the energy. We're lessening the intensity of the emotional impact of it and neutralizing it. It's like when you think of something that you're really worried about, think about neutralization. It's like bring it down, emotional. How much emotion do you have wrapped around this thing? You know, how tightly is it bound? And just start visualizing yourself unwrapping the emotion. And more unwrapping and just peeling it off until you're like, I'm okay with this. It's all right, you know. I remember when my sons were younger and they wanted to start playing football and it'd be, you know, it'd be so hot and humid and I'd, oh my God, they're going to dehydrate. Oh my God, they're going to get cramps. And if their potassium gets too low, how is that going to affect the heart? And my husband said, would you quit worrying? I'm like, no, I can't because it's a pattern behavior. So
yes.
I literally had to learn how to say, you know, I'm not going to stop my boys from living their lives. This is what they enjoy. This is what they do. And go for it, you know. And I think that even as mothers, if we put too much, you know, don't do this or don't do that. I'm talking about normal things like, you know, don't play football. It's like, yeah, right. But I had, you know, it sounded significant, but I actually had to learn how to pull back from that and say, okay, this is their life. I'm, you know, their parent, but I can't stop them from doing what they truly care about doing. And so you start unwrapping again. And it took a couple of football seasons and not going to every game. I had to kind of, you know, stay away because I'd be, like, literally hysterical in the stands. But I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm good with this. And thank God everything went well. And as a matter of fact, my son has his regular job, my oldest, but he actually coaches on the side as a volunteer, a little league team, a little football team, and who won their title last year. And so as you can see, had I put that fear or not allowed him to play or do something, he wouldn't have been able to do that right now, you know, doing something that he really loves. So one thing does affect the other. It's that ripple, you know, effect. And I know I have two boys. They're grown men now, but you have two young little girls there, and do you find that you have to draw that line as to saying, where is my worrying becoming, you know, over the limit, or where is my, how would you say, my concern correctly placed? Do you find that doing that with your girls?
Yes, I do. It takes me a while, but I guess, like, kind of relief. We're allowed to walk to school. We're like two houses away from the school. So it's like I finally got to the point where I allowed them to walk to school. As long as I can see where they're at, I'm fine. But before, it'd be like I had to have them right there. I was scared to, like, in a sense, like, let them outside the yard, you know. But now I'm, like, getting to where I can let them go and play, and, you know, I keep an eye on them and stuff like that. But it's just, like, little stuff like that. It's like you have to learn that you can't keep them, like stuck in, but you also need to allow them enough space to get out there and to learn and to grow. And as they get older, I'm terrified when dating comes, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, scary, scary. But,
especially living in Texas where you have to have a car.
Yes.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, the joys of teenagehood. But they, you know, it's like as they're growing up, I know it, you know, we would basically say stuff like, yes, don't drink and drive. So we taught the boys get a designated driver. And over the years, when they were growing up, they would switch out weekends, and it worked actually very well. So you have these little things that you put in their heads. And, but to just stop them from doing everything or anything, you know, they're going to do it behind your back. They're teenagers. That's what they do, you know. It's part of the rite of passage into young adulthood. But anyway, I guess we don't have too much time left. But in any event, if you are interested in finding more out about empathic energies, you can always contact me by way of my website, and that's RitaMoore, one word, .org. And Becky, how can they contact you if they're interested in, you know, readings or whatever?
They can email me at readingsbybecky@gmail.com.
Okay, then. And if you're interested in a session, once again, you can still contact me through my RitaMoore.org. And or just if you just have a general question, because, like, sometimes people want to know a little bit more about what we speak about, and it's, you know, there are so many facets of these things that it's hard to really truly get into detail. So we kind of give you an overview, so to speak, But if you find that you're depressed and, you know, there are certain things that we can do to take you through some exercises to find out if, you know, if this is you or whatever. And like I said, you can reach me. I do have an email on my website, so you can reach me through there. And you could just put reading, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, in the title of it. In other words, in the subject line. And, you know, we can go from there. Because another thing I do, honestly, is spiritual counseling. I like to take the esoteric or even biblical principles and take them to what I call metaphysical understanding and then put them into practical reality. What good is knowing something if you cannot put it to work in your life, you know? It's like you can have all the esoteric knowledge in the world and then some, but if it's not being applied to your daily life, then it's just head, you know, head stuff. It's just taking up room in your head as far as I'm concerned. So if you do have questions about certain spiritual issues, are you in a spiritual crisis? You know, I know that there are a lot of people that sometimes they are, you know, born into a certain religion or a belief system. As they grow, they find that either it's not serving them, it's something's not right, and they're searching. They don't know what they're searching for. They kind of fall through the cracks, and, you know, they're torn. They're literally torn. And so I can actually help you with that. And Becky, do you do any spiritual counseling, or are you just strictly with your psychic thing?
Oh, no. I actually I love to counsel in that sense, helping, like, understanding, like, different perspectives of different realms of thought and everything else. So
mm-hmm.
I do pretty much the same thing as you do in that sense is I do enjoy, you know, helping people kind of, I guess, tear their thought process down and rebuild it, you know, to what fits
yeah.
them correctly.
It's like rethink a situation, you know. It's sort of like when Jesus said turn the other cheek, it's like I used to think, well, walk on me and take advantage of me. But when you turn your cheek, you have to turn your head and your eyes follow. And eventually that meant to me, turn the other cheek means turn your head and look at this from a different perspective.
Exactly.
You know, so there's so many things that, you know, are wisdom-filled, literally, that you can definitely, you know, utilize in your personal life. And so I think we're just about out of time here, and I thank everyone for listening. Thank you so much, Becky, for joining me tonight. And a little bit better hearing thing. I think I have to get a better set of headphones.
Hey, we made it work, right?
We always do. Yeah, we take lemon and make lemonade. That's my philosophy. So, in any event, thank you, folks. And like I said, if you need us, it's readamore.org or readingsbybecky@gmail.com. Is that correct, Becky?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, then. Love you guys and have a wonderful week ahead. Take care, Becky.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye, honey.